podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there and welcome to what a lot of people are already calling the sixth podcast from the XFM Breakfast Show. On this week's podcast, Gary Lightbody swings by, Justin Lee Collins does as well. I'll tell you what, Quizface takes a turn for the sporting.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace. Hey, listen, why don't we do our facts? Matt, I enjoyed your fact a couple of days ago, the one where you'd never been to Basildon, was it?
Yes.
And Dustin, our confirmed listener Dustin, he picked up the baton, didn't he? And he went to Romford for the first time yesterday.
I know, yeah.
I don't think for the show.
No.
It wasn't sort of inspired by your story. I thought, I'm going to Romford. But that was nice. He went to the Liberty Cafe yesterday. He informed us that there's a Wimpy in Romford. That's good as well. Yeah, these are all extra facts, by the way. These don't count. Matt, what's your fact of the day?
My fact of the day is I have never broken a bone in my body. But I have had a knee the size of a watermelon twice and an operation on an ingrown toenail.
Oh, okay. And would you have swapped those two things for just a simple broken bone?
No.
Right, okay.
It sounds painful, breaking a bone.
It's not that bad.
Isn't it?
I think it's overrated, breaking bones.
Really?
Yeah. Is it? What, in terms of pain?
Yeah, I think so.
How many bones have you broken?
Two.
Two, which ones?
My finger.
Yeah.
From a previous fact, when I went to catch the rugby ball.
Yes, I remember, yes.
And my ankle.
Right, broken ankle.
Ooh, that's a
fractured. I was going to say if it was, fractured.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe
then.
I don't. Fractures aren't the same, are they?
Yeah.
Sprain.
He was talking like a man of great experience. He's basically hurt his finger and sprained his ankle. I broke my nose when I was a child. I just learned to walk, basically, but I wasn't very good at stopping. And I ran down a corridor and I couldn't stop, and I ran into a toilet. Yeah, exactly. Usually that gets more of a comic response, but you all looked like me in terms of pain. Look at Phil's face.
Yeah. So, awful.
But why is it you've never broken a bone?
I don't know. I'm just thinking getting through life and getting away with it. But the ingrowing toenail operation was horrible. They stuck a needle right into the middle of my big toe.
No. Right.
And it was a gruesome experience.
Great. Yeah, 6:43 in the morning.
6:43 in the
morning. People want to wake up to this?
Morning.
Phil, what's your fact of the day?
My fact is, last night, much to my shame, I left a football match of my own team at half-time.
Oh! No.
For the first time ever.
Oh, I'm reacting like I know what that means. Is that, why did you
do that?
Well,
I left at half-time. I was so tired and the match was so rubbish and it was so far from my house. Yeah. I just thought, right, I'm going.
Half-time supporter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, call yourself a sports badger.
I know.
Well, you don't, I do. My fact of the day is, I once, while in Japan, was wandering around a little bit hungry and I found a restaurant, and it just said restaurant, it said NJA. I thought, this looks all right, fine. And I went in and it was a restaurant owned and run by ninjas. And it was a ninja restaurant in Tokyo. And so I went in and I was on my own in this little kind of, I couldn't see the restaurant anywhere. It was just like a reception area. And she went, "Are you here for the restaurant?" I was like, "Yes." And she's like, "You're on your own." I was going, "Yes." I think so. And then suddenly a ninja comes out and I have to go into, she leads me into like a cave sort of area. And I have to pass a ninja test before I'm allowed to go in. We walk into this room and suddenly like the floor starts to fall away or something. And then I have to work out how to be a ninja, and all it is you just press a button and the floor comes back, and then you go and you have your meal, and when you leave the restaurant you think, well, I've got away with that. It was a weird kind of themed restaurant. I'm walking down the street thinking, now I'm blending in again to the tourists and all that kind of stuff. No one knows I've been in a ninja restaurant. And then you suddenly hear a heart-piercing scream, and you turn around, and a ninja has jumped out of the restaurant, done a little somersault, and unravelled like a big papyrus scroll that says, "Thank you for coming to the ninja restaurant." So you're marked out immediately as Japan's most annoying tourist. Dave, what's your fact?
I am on the Oasis Live at Wembley DVD, where after the concert, I am caught swearing into the camera whilst wearing a city top and a bucket hat.
You're a thug, right?
Yeah.
I'm slowly realising, no. Right? He comes in here, he wears his shirt, it's all done up to the top button, all that kind of stuff. He's quite neatly groomed. And yet he was voted, the third booziest man in Britain. Fourth, you know, that's good of you to be so modest. But the fourth booziest man in Britain, thanks to that thing. And now you're a thug shouting at people, swearing to an audience.
Well, yeah, he's
camera.
A hooligan, isn't he?
Yeah. What kind of swear was it?
I was 17 years old. It was the birdie, I think it's called.
The birdie.
Oh, yeah, what, you fixed the bird.
It was a hand gesture.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Oh,
that's all right, isn't it?
I suppose so. You've grown up now. You'll be fine. Yeah. Why didn't you mention this to Noel Gallagher when we had him on the show?
No, I don't think so.
I'm definitely going to mention it soon. He might remember you.
XFM.
First, I thought it'd be nice. Just to remind you that our new podcast is out there, Matt. It's out in the ether. It's floating around on the internet, going down the tubes and all the little tunnels that make up the internet and then popping into people's computers and... We popped a little virus in it this week as well. So, and it's a, what it is, it's a tiny Matt Dyson virus. And you download it, and a little Matt Dyson, he escapes the podcast. And he tunnels his way into your photos and your music. And he pops up in the back of all your photos, just staring at the camera. And then he moves your kind of documents around, and he finds important ones, like about tax and stuff. And then he just adds swear words in the middle of, you know, letters and things like that. How is that going for you?
I wasn't sure at first, but some people are liking it.
Well, it takes up most of your free time, because you can only do it on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
So it's one podcast at a time, and then we have to put you in your special silver suit the slide, and then when someone downloads it,
I know, it's tough. It's... But worthwhile.
Well, it is worthwhile, because it's getting the podcast numbers up.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Gary Lightbody, everybody, here he is. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Danny.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. How
good.
Are you?
I like the way we've automatically entered into some kind of weird formal thing, like we're in front of...
We've already said hello, but, you know, we're going
to
say hello...
We're pretending to.
For all the people.
Yeah, exactly.
As if we're friends.
Yes, exactly. Well, who knows, by the end of this interview, Gary, this could happen.
That's
what
really
would
good.
It take to become friends with you? Do you have a very...
I give my friendship up real cheap, so, you know, so whatever. Just a smile
and a curtsy. Maybe a Twix.
Twix and a marathon.
Okay, good.
Snickers.
Well, yeah, okay, great.
Terribly sorry, I don't know where I went. I went into the past there.
You went into sort of 80s confectionery.
I did.
You've made many appearances on this very radio station, not just with your excellent music, but also from time to time popping up. Well, one example that springs to mind was on the phone not too long ago when you were accused, and I believed this rumour, I believe it to this day, when you were accused by the presenter, comedian Justin Lee Collins, I'll just play it for you.
There's also been a lot of talk today, Gary, about you and Lionel Richie urinating on Honda Civics and Rover 45 automobiles. Is there any truth in this? Gary, have you ever met Lionel Richie, first and foremost?
I've never met Lionel Richie, and I've not urinated on a Honda Civic in years.
Yes. Who gave all that up years ago?
Now, that sounds like a lie to me. I'm trying to get journalistically to the heart of this. There's no smoke without fire, and I trust Justin Lee Collins as a friend, as a mentor. What's the story?
Well, the story is... I'm not...
He's too uncomfortable even denying he's never once urinated on it. We had Justin in yesterday. He seemed to think the story holds water, holds true.
Oh, yeah. It's just me that can't hold water. I'm going to keep tight-lipped about the whole Honda Civic thing.
Really?
Yeah. You know,
it does sound like you're on the...
Trying to get a sponsorship, so I don't want to ruin that.
No, absolutely.
We are
XFL! Should we do our good news?
Yeah.
Matt, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. I cooked sea bass for the first time last night.
Oh, that's good news.
On papillot with garlic, onions, olive oil and some lemon.
That is good news.
And it was very nice, very simple.
What's papillot?
It's when you cook it in like a piece of paper, you know, you cook it in a pouch.
Okay, like a tramp might do.
No, I don't think you see many tramps eating sea bass.
Wow, so that's great. All good news, Matt. Well done. Well done on your sea bass adventure. Dave, yours.
Good news, guys. I just about had enough time this morning to lay out D Hearts H in rose petals on our bed to welcome Hannah home from her holiday.
Oh,
well, they're not.
Yeah. That's great news. So she's back tonight.
She's back this afternoon.
She's going to walk in and see D Hearts H in lovely rose petals. Indeed. Is she listening to the show right now?
Romantic. I doubt it. She's probably still in Portugal.
I see. Well, she can listen online.
I think she has been doing for the past week, yes.
We've just ruined the surprise. Yeah. That's good news. Well done.
Thanks.
My good news. A workman came round yesterday to look at a problem, Matt and Dave, that we've been having with some errant flashing, which due to the heavy precipitation of late has caused some minor water damage to the ceiling of the kitchen and the two lower steps between the kitchen and the living room. Well, I immediately trusted this man who came round, who I think may have been Polish, based mainly on his can-do attitude and his forearms, which were muscly and quite tanned. Now, he did a terrific job, Matt and Dave, but then, this is the good news. He offered me an XFM discount because, unbeknownst to me, he is a listener to the show. How good is that? That's great news. I did not accept the discount. Kept it above board. But thanks to him, if he's listening, it's all been fine.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
XFM. Matt, why don't you try and rescue this situation with a stirring wartime-style poem that I commissioned from you just yesterday.
Chin up, Mavis. Don't be so forlorn. Why, there's Victoria Sponge, doilies, and tea on the lawn. Whoops, here comes a whiz-bang. It's Boris taking down looters with a specially enhanced spud gun. It's a dandy time to be a Londoner, and no mistaking, Doris, with the morale-boosting breakfast show from Mr. Daniel Wallace.
Oh, Matt Dyson, I was not expecting something of that quality. And with production elements, too.
Yeah, yeah, I think that really lifted it. It took our ears off the content.
Yeah.
XFM.
Confirm, listener Kelly, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Bring it on.
Okay, you should know the rules by now. Let's get quizzical.
Quiz face.
And Kelly, I can tell you that today's quiz face is quiz ball. So, you should know the rules by now, Kelly. Avoid the red card. Yellow cards are fine, though, today, OK?
OK.
Let's crack on. Kelly.
Yes?
I'd like you to choose a ball, please, first of all.
Choose.
Choose a ball.
Yellow?
What, sorry?
A ball.
Yeah, choose a ball. Type of ball, any ball.
Football.
Football.
Valid.
Great. Kelly, the ball master has spoken. That is a valid ball. Let's quiz ball. Okay, Kelly, you have possession. Kick or pass?
Kick.
You're saying kick. Excellent. You have possession. Kick or pass?
Kick.
You have possession. Kick or pass?
Pass.
Ooh, that's a throw-in. Thank you. Choose a number, Kelly. You have 2 seconds now to decide.
8.
You're saying 8?
7.
Yep.
You're sticking with 8. You have possession. Okay, that's half time. Let's change ends.
End reverse.
Kelly, I have possession. Kick or pass?
Half.
Okay, that's a penalty. We're going to change ends. Yeah. Remember, you can substitute. You can substitute any of your players at any time. Let's spin the wheel first. Okay, Kelly, that stopped on a green player. But remember, the colour is irrelevant at this stage. Are you happy to go ahead with the green player?
Yes.
Okay, let's get the power bar going. Kelly, stop the power bar when you're ready.
Stop.
Stop. Okay, kick the ball.
Kick.
That's a good angle, Kelly, but will it go in? Complete this sentence to score. We are...
the people?
Nearly, nearly. That was your first of 3 attempts. We are...
winners.
Winners, okay. Yeah. You should know the rules by now, Kelly.
I don't.
Have you what? You didn't know the rules at all to quiz ball?
No.
And you've just been playing the whole time?
You wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
Just like a professional. It's amazing. What's the name of the radio station you're listening to right now?
XFM.
That'll do.
XFM.
That will do.
We are...
XFM.
It's Justin Lee Collins, everyone.
Thank you very much indeed.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I've got a lot happening on this one particular day.
This one particular day, tonight on Channel 5, Living Las Vegas. Well, we've got to talk about that.
Thank you.
Tonight, at the very, you won't even see that because you'll be on stage tonight at the Shaftesbury doing the preview of Rock of Ages.
Yeah, well, when the Vegas show goes out tonight, I'll probably be on stage in the middle of Final Countdown by Europe.
That right. You gave us a little sneak peek there just while we were playing a track. You were showing us, one of your dance routines. Which...
Yeah, I've got the choreography, for this most difficult thing, the whole process, Danny.
Yeah.
I mean, the singing, I'm kind of fine with.
Yeah.
And the American accent, no one's pulled me up on that.
Can we hear a little bit now? Or do you feel comfortable doing this?
I think so. Let me just, they're calling it economic redevelopment. Apparently, the bourbon no longer generates an adequate tax revenue.
I was not expecting that, ladies and gentlemen. That is great. Well, tell us about Rock of Ages.
Well, Rock of Ages is set in the year 1987.
Yeah.
We're on the Sunset Strip in Los Angeles. Yeah. I play Dennis Dupree, the owner of the Bourbon Room nightclub.
Right.
So we're trying to keep rock alive. You know, times are changing. Yeah. And these two Germans turn up, Danny, and they want to take my club away from me.
You can't let them do this.
And we can't let them do this. We can't let them put an end to our dreams.
So how will you stop them putting an end to your dreams? Through dance and rock?
Absolutely. That's a great question, because what's going to happen is that I've read in the paper that Stacey Jacks and his band Arsenal are reuniting for one night only. So I have a brainwave. I mean, obviously, Stacey Jacks and Arsenal are an entirely fictitious band that only exists within Rock of Ages.
Sure.
I suggest, wouldn't it be great if we got Stacey Jacks to come to the Bourbon Room and play their last gig ever here, thus saving the club?
Well, we'll find out. Well, I mean, you'll find out every single night that you do it.
Absolutely.
You probably already know due to rehearsals.
I kind of know.
And
being a professional. I kind of know what happens.
And the little dance routine you did for us in the studio, I mean, at first I was worried because I was thinking it appears to be mainly shuffling and walking a bit. Well, that was due to the constraints of the studio.
Absolutely.
I mean, how much do you do of it? How hard is it?
I do quite a bit. It's very difficult. But I'm not a dancer. I don't really have much in the way of a natural rhythm.
Right.
But there is this quite a big set piece for Whitesnake's Here I Go Again. And, you know, nailing the moves for Whitesnake's Here I Go Again. I mean, I sing a little section of the song.
Yeah.
You know, I've got part of a verse and I've got the chorus. I join in for the chorus with the ensemble.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. But the moves, the choreography has left me wanting.
Also, if people can't get down there, they can still get a JLC fix. They can sit on their bottoms on a sofa or chair of their choice within the living room, switch on to Channel 5 tonight. Yes. At 10, and they will see what?
They can come with me to Las Vegas.
Exactly.
Yeah. Living Las Vegas. Come with me.
Fantastic.
It's good there.
Is it? I've been once.
What did you make of it?
Well, it was a bit tricky because we were going to go there with some very good friends and have a big old debauched Las Vegas weekend. It's the first time I've been there, first time my wife had been there. And then about 2 days before going there, we found out that my wife was pregnant. And Vegas is not the place you want to be with a pregnant woman.
It really isn't for kids either, is it? It's just not. I think someone once described it to me as being Disneyland for adults.
Okay.
And I think that's about right. It's kind of a grubby Disneyland.
It's very grubby.
Yeah, it is. But it's also fascinating. Yeah. And prior to this filming trip, I've been there about four times, and I do love it, but I've never been there for any longer than about 5 days.
Right.
And for this job, I was there for 17 days.
17?
17 days straight.
See, a weekend is about right.
Yeah, long weekend. That's just about it. Maybe an extra day if you want to go and see that big hole in the ground.
Oh, yes.
It takes about 9 hours to get to. It just takes forever and a day. And I went with my dad and my Uncle Dave a year ago to see that big hole in the ground.
How is your Uncle Dave doing?
He's doing really well, actually. Well,
right.
Yeah, he's Uncle Nork. I call him Uncle Nork. He calls me Captain Butnit. That's another thing. But anyway, it's another thing.
Yeah.
But we drove to the big hole in the ground and it took me 6 hours. I hired a Sebring convertible with a sat-nav.
Nice.
And then we got there and we all got out, the three of us. We looked at it and went, it's a big hole in the ground. Back in the Sebring with a convertible with a sat-nav and drove 6 hours all the way back to the Venetian where we were.
Please tell me that's in the documentary.
No, that's not in the documentary.
Because I would love to see that.
It's not in there, but what you have got is, and this is one of the highlights for me, Danny, is I went to the very famous Little White Wedding Chapel, where, you know, you can get married by Elvis.
Yeah.
Elvis had a day off, so a young couple agreed to be married, I swear this is completely true, and it's legally binding, agreed to be married by me as Barry Gibb.
Wow! That is terrific. Did they know you weren't Barry Gibb?
They had a, you know, do a double take. No, it's not. So we were there filming. We had, this wasn't pre-planned. We had no idea what we were going to get. It was an amazing experience. A member of staff quit right before our very eyes. She said, right, you get, film this. I'm quitting, right? And she clocked out and left. So they agreed to have me marry them, read them the love menu, and then I sang How Deep Is Your Love. And then I said, right, now you can, you know, sort of kiss your bride and, you know, bride, you can, you know, kiss your groom. And then I sang You Should Be Dancing. I segged into You Should Be Dancing.
This is great.
And then they went off on their merry way in their limo.
I really hope this was in the documentary, because that would have been a wasted
this is
moment.
The documentary.
And what does the second part cover?
Oh, I'm trying to think. In the second part, we've got, I went out for an evening with a bail bondsman.
Right.
Goodfellas Bail Bonds.
Oh.
Now, I invite anyone to go onto the internet and look up Goodfellas Bail Bonds. Yeah. I mean, they make their own TV commercials.
Wow.
And they're absolute. His name's Gino, who runs.
And they go after people, like in Midnight Run.
Like Midnight Run, one of my all-time favourite films.
Too.
Midnight Run, Grodin and De Niro.
Yeah.
It's just like that. So we went sort of mobbed up with this massive guy. There was a massive guy who was straight out of The Sopranos. Went to this guy's house. They found an address for this chap that had skipped bail. And we went in. We went into the house with the cameras, got the guy out of bed, and I'm there. I'm in the guy's bedroom.
Wouldn't it have been terrific if he was British and he just looks up? He goes, yeah, I can understand the bail bondsman, yeah, Dog the Ben here, and apparent, and Justin Lee Collins. That would have been terrific. Yeah. We are It's time, Matt. It's
Let's
time to
this.
Cover the stories that other people don't cover. The good news happening up and down the country. The little things, the little moments, the moments of joy happening behind closed doors or on the streets or on buses. Shall we do it?
Yes.
All right. You start.
Good news, guys.
Yeah.
From confirmed listener Kay. I'm buying my first house with my boyfriend Dan today, and he has been doing all the tricky and boring paperwork, so it's been easy and fun.
That's good news. Excellent work. Charlie has just tweeted us. Good news, guys. Woke up this morning and a spot that was ruining my final teenage years has disappeared. That's good news. Excellent work. Sean says, my good news is my sister is visiting me today and I'm going to celebrate the hard work and the creativity of some great people tonight. Well, that's good news. Well
good
done.
Good news. Rebecca in Brentwood. Good news, guys. My handsome boyfriend is Danish. Good news.
That's good news. That's news that we can get behind. Colin in Herne Hill says, good news, guys. Last night I saw Pulp at Brixton Academy and they were awesome. This is a good one. We're gonna keep him anonymous though. Anonymous, what's your good news?
Good news, guys. I think my supervisor's a swear-wording idiot and my boss agrees.
Yeah, that's good news. That's good news. Stick it to the man there. Matt, what else is happening?
Good news, guys.
Yeah.
I just got a pay rise and my boyfriend got a new job.
That's
woo-hoo kiss.
That's a definite woo-hoo kiss moment. Good work. Good news. Marina says, good news, guys. I am still in bed and I don't have to be in work until 11.
Oh,
that's good news. Good news. Gareth in Maidstone. He's just got some new data allowance on his phone, meaning he can continue to listen to the show today. That's good news. John, Gabriella in Archway. Good news, guys. We've got a new kitten. He's called John. John is a great name for a kitten, I think. What about you, Matt?
One of the longest texts I've ever seen in my life.
Let's do this.
To Chris, are you ready?
Strap yourself in.
Good news, guys. My partner has given up work to become a full-time mum, which means I can leave for work earlier and get home earlier.
That's good.
This means I can see the quirky London I have loved for all my life.
What kind of things?
Instead of seeing the office bods trumping into work, I see the funny people again, like the guy who runs like the knights with the coconuts in Monty Python, the Holy Grail. And of course, not forgetting the snobby woman in Chelsea, who at the same time every day lets her little snobby dog poo in the road.
Boo to that Chelsea woman.
That dog now gets the shock of his life again, as when I drive quite close to the above-mentioned dog and bib my horn in mid-poo, sending him jumping into the air with a little doggy poo hanging from his bum. I love London. Good news.
That's good news. Well done. And ordinarily, that would be a great one to finish on, but I wonder, Matt, is Isabella on the line?
Yeah.
Hi, Isabel. How are you?
Hi, thank you.
Now, how old are you, Isabel?
I'm 11.
You're 11. And what's your good news?
My old Bluetooth just came out.
That is good news. So it came out. Was it annoying you?
Yeah.
And now you've got that weird gap, haven't you? And does your tongue feel weird?
Yeah.
It is a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we would like to celebrate that good news. So well done, Isabel.
Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, that's not good news.
That's great news.
Excellent work.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
There was a lovely moment before, wasn't there, Matt? Where, you know, when we're going through all these texts that are coming in, and we feel like we know you, and we hope that you feel like you know us a bit, but I think Dave sometimes feels he knows you a little bit too much, because, he goes through the text, and we say, how about this one, phone this guy, and he goes, what about this guy, and then you phone them up, and normally you say, hey, hello, thanks for your text, this is Dave from XFM, but sometimes, as in just a moment ago, you get a little bit too close to the listener, I think, and this is, you're a bit too confident that they would know who you are. This is what you did.
Hello?
Hello, Joanna, it's Dave. From XFM, sorry. We are just giving you a call because we like your fact.
Too casual.
Over-familiar.
Hi, Joanna, it's Dave.
She's going, I don't know a Dave. Who is this?
You had to qualify with the from XFM.
XFM.
The one, the only, Robin Cooper is here. Hi, Robin.
Hello, everyone.
How are you?
Welcome, viewers.
Yes?
To the... What is your name? I've never known it. No, sorry. Is it Richard Tackworthy?
No, it's not. No, I'm not sure who that is. It's Danny Wallace.
Danny Wallace's show.
Yep.
Welcome, listeners, to XFM.
That's
XFM.
It. XFM, yep.
Morning, everyone.
Yes.
Here's Queen with Bohemian.
Not yet. No, we won't do that. No, we're not going to move on to that. How have you been this week?
Not bad. It's been a lot of rain. And interestingly, I was listening to the weather report.
Yes, from Matt there on the left.
Well, I tape all your reports, you see. And I was listening to it again. And surface spray is the right spray. The right phrase, really, because there is a lot of runoff.
Yes, absolutely.
Because certainly in urban areas, the land isn't porous because it's concrete, and water rebounds, as it were. Some probably get through cracks where weeds grow, of course.
That's true.
But they can cause trouble to foundations, and we need to, you know, really build foundations for a better nation.
I suppose we do. Matt, are you going to pick up on that point? Are you going to alter the way you think?
Yeah, there'll be more on that coming up later.
That's good.
The society as a whole could be improved, but... road systems, maybe we could open the phone lines to talk about how you would improve the roads.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, why not?
Right.
You know, you there...
We spoke to your mother last week.
We did, we spoke to my mum, yeah.
Is it possible I could meet your mother?
Well, it's possible.
Or just even if she would come in the studio, or I could speak to, maybe she might... Well, she'll probably phone in about the roads.
Yeah, no, she would. She's a very opinionated woman when it comes to...
Right.
Rose,
very nice.
She's a very nice lady, yes, no, absolutely.
Because she told me all about, you remember last week, you've been potty trained.
Yes, she told you, yeah, she told everyone about that.
Right, yes.
All
the viewers, as it were. Radio silence, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. But no, apart from that, getting wet, bought a new ladder.
Oh, yeah?
Right. The thing is, they do ladders, but they don't do very, very small ladders, which would be very hard, because I have a small job in the house to do, which does require a particularly small ladder. I'm talking about a ladder that's probably about 11 inches high.
Okay.
And the thing is, I did find, Martin Bale.
Yeah.
My name, Martin. His brother, brother, more of a friend, really. Derek, he has a workshop, and he strictly makes wicker things, but I said, well, have a go at a ladder, and he made me a small ladder. First out of wicker, I said, no, metal. And the thing is, the rungs are too thin, because if it's 11 inches each, imagine he's made the rungs proportionate, and I can't get my foot in them.
No, absolutely. Why don't you use maybe like a small step or a shoebox?
It's a good idea, and I think I will do that, and I think a ladder was... definitely a foolhardy
endeavour.
Enterprise.
Yeah.
Or endeavour, of course. We all endeavour to build a better society.
It's true. Talking of society and the inevitable collapse of the society. Well, the best story in the paper that we found today is only one sentence long. I don't know if you've seen this, maybe on your way in or anything. The headline is Bible Bashers. And the story is a mother superior and a nun who fought each other with axes, sticks and chairs at a convent in Serbia are being quizzed by police. What does this mean?
What are they being quizzed about, though?
Well, I'm not... Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I'm not sure it's a game show.
They don't say that.
No.
You know, are they being forced for some punishment, for example, to go on a sort of quiz show in Serbia, where they have to answer questions that are very tough, algebra or the history of cabinet making, which is very specific. You certainly have to swap up on that. But, well, cabinet making, of course, has been going on for probably thousands of years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, it doesn't mention anything about that, but that's the story.
Of course, you could break a cabinet with an axe, and maybe it's probably they were having an argument about a cabinet, and the police came and broke it. Oh, no, I know what's going on.
XFM. Despite my sheer terror, I managed to humanely dispose of the biggest house spider I've ever seen in my life on the stairs of my house last night, using a pink plastic bowl and a copy of Grazia. It was huge.
Are you getting a picture of it?
I've got a picture of it. I'll put it on Twitter. This is the biggest house spider I've ever seen in my life.
And it was you screaming, first of all, at a spider with a pink bucket and a copy of Grazia.
It took me about 10 minutes.
Was your fiance on holiday? Why were you...
It took me 10 minutes just to do that. She was really? Scared. We're both very scared of spiders.
Hold the picture up. Let's have a look.
My iPhone's broken, unfortunately.
But, no proof as this.
I will post it online.
We'll pop it on the giant spider. We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM. The bank holiday is over. We must just keep our heads down and crack on with this week, Matt Dyson.
Get through.
Let's just get through together, and we'll be there for everyone, won't we?
Yeah.
We'll be there with music and fun.
Keep calm and carry on.
That's right.
Have a cup of tea.
Have a cup of tea if you want to.
Take the edge off.
Will. It's advice like this, Matt, that will make this radio show work, I believe. And also, you should write a few poems for people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like... Because when you said keep calm and carry on, it reminded me of, like, you know, well, obviously some kind of wartime broadcast.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would have been brilliant in terms of wartime broadcast.
So. Yeah,
just have a cup of tea, take the edge off the bombings, that kind of thing, something like that. So why don't you write some inspiring poetry?
Something you're right. Okay, what, wartime poetry?
Well, it's certainly inspired stylistically.
That era,
and then you can deliver it to the people as we go through this week, where we've been tempted, haven't we, by the day off? We've been sort of... I don't know, costed a bit and made to feel everything's all right. And it's not all right, is it? Because we're back.
Okay, yeah. I'll have a go.
I don't mean right now. No. I didn't mean for you to improvise some poems. Instead, let's do some facts, shall we? What's happening out there? What are the people telling us?
Well, this is the sort of fact we love here. Confirmed listener Sharon from Brighton. My facts are, I saw the band Manson 43 times between the years of 1997 and 2001.
Wow.
Which is quite an impressive thing in itself. Also, I've never drank a cup of tea or coffee in my life.
Oh, Sharon, well done.
That's amazing.
That's a double header of two fantastic facts there. It's going to be hard to top. Confirmed listener Sam says, I own two dogs, both called Peter. Confirmed listener Pat, like Phil, the sports badger, I also enjoy Emmental cheese. Great fact. Thanks for letting me know. Confirmed listener Leon in Stoke, I have shaken the hand of Charlie from the Proclaimers on no fewer than four occasions. I have never even laid eyes on Craig. Confirmed listener Bilbo on the A12, I once had my windshield nicked. Confirmed listener Graham sitting next to Bilbo on the A12. I know who nicked Bilbo's windshield. That's great. Keep us updated as to those things. Is it confirmed listener Alan we've got? Alan McCabby.
My fact is, when I was 5, I crashed a milk float.
That's just my favourite. Confirmed listener Dan, no one at work knows my middle name. It's Paul. But I imagine he's probably changed his first name there to fox them, hasn't he?
Yes.
That's what he's like, so. That guy. So thank you very much for your amazing facts. It really does feel like we're getting to know you a little bit more, and hopefully that will be reflected in some of Matt Dyson's poetry around this time later on this week. The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace. Now, we had, we were talking to Justin Lee Collins earlier, weren't we? A professional, a man who knows his way around a microphone, and now we asked Justin, just do a couple of little liners, we call them, you know, where they just go, hi, I'm Justin Lee Collins, and you're listening to The Breakfast Show. I think he was off his game. This was his attempt.
Hello, I'm Justin Lee Collins. I think I screwed up my own name.
There you go, a proper pro. But at least he picked himself up on his mistake at not being able to say his own name correctly. XFM. This is what we've learnt. All right, Matt. You're bopping away there, but you're not giving us the facts.
Well, the only
it's nice you're enjoying yourself, but we really must. This is a public service broadcasting moment.
I just love the Danny Analytics music.
You though. Do, I know you do.
Fact number one, stat number one. The all-new XFM Breakfast Show has now had glowing reviews in at least three national media outlets, with The Guardian joining The Sun and Shortlist in publicly backing us. If you missed the two-page spread in last week's Shortlist, it's online at shortlist.com.
Shortlist.com for all your XFM needs. I had a can of energy drink approximately 2 hours later than normal today, despite a wake-up, which was 60 minutes early. Earlier than normal.
Here's the weekly quiz face breakdown of textual feedback. Imagine a pie chart in your mind's eye, please.
Everyone.
72% loving it, 24% confused, 4% other.
Well, that's okay. We don't mind that. I stood in the toilets this morning with John Suchet, the not Poirot one, for nearly 3 minutes this morning. At no point did he make eye contact with me. He merely cleared his throat and pretended to find washing his hands fascinating. His cream shirt was untucked on one side. This may, of course, have changed.
And Justin Lee Collins' huge skull-adorned jewellery was heard jangling in the background at least 9 times during his interview on the show today.
It was, yeah. I can still hear it in my mind's eye. And topics discussed off-air today include how many omelettes we've had in our lives, how our omelette consumption has experienced a sharp spike in recent weeks, Jamil hosting an outdoor secret chicken party in Soho today, Matt's role as a fast food ambassador, Meat, Feet, and Lucy Viraswamy. XFM. It's the last 25 minutes of the show, meaning that, pretty soon Rick Shaw's going to be on at 10 o'clock, and he'll be launching his new feature, Rick Shaw's Big Paw. And his big paw today apparently has landed in 18th century China. Rick will be asking for your 18th century China stories, trying to write his own Chinese musical by the end of the show. Mike Reed has invested very heavily in that. Ironically, he'll make no reference whatsoever to his name being the same as an antiquated form of transport, which did originate in the Far East. Music today from the Ming Dynasty Players, Sir Pippin, Shanghai Brass, and Wing Zhou Chung and Friends. That is... That's from 10 o'clock, Rick Shaw's Big Paw, right here on XFM. Now, let's do something else. We are XFM! And this morning, Matt, I was thinking about last night, and I don't know if I've told you this, I haven't been sleeping that well the past few weeks, right? The first week of doing the show, slept brilliantly, and then since then, I don't know, it's been difficult. I don't know whether it's low-flying aircraft, sometimes it's my little boy waking up in the middle of the night. Anyway, it's not been great. And last night, I was thinking about this and thinking, how can I get a better night's sleep? And I realised that for the first week of doing this show, I had a little tradition, right? And I did that tradition religiously every night. I went it. And last night, what prompted me to do it was I got a text. And a text was from Dave here, producer Dave. And it just said, I've decided not to start my best man speech with the advice you gave me. I've decided not to start it with ladles and jelly spoons. Now, I thought this was a mistake. I wrote back to him angrily and just said, well, look, sleep on it, all right? You owe me that. And I'm kind of upset. I'm angry, right? I'm bouncing off the walls. This was free advice, Matt. I'm a writer by trade. This was like my gift to Dave.
Surefire winner.
Ladles and jelly spoons. Yeah. Boom. First laugh, we're off. But no, ignored. I don't know how he's going to start it. I'm not even going to turn up to this thing, whatever it is. I haven't been invited. But the point is, I needed to calm down. And during the first week of my tenure here, I had a bath every night.
Yes.
It was a way of just sort of not watching telly. So you don't get all those images in your head. You calm down, you have some moments to yourself, you read a little bit, you get relaxed, and then you fall asleep, right? And it worked like a dream. Didn't do it after the first week, didn't sleep as well. So decided to reinstate that tradition. I go into the bathroom. My wife, very lovely and thoughtful woman, she had bought lots of different sorts of bath, gels.
Salt.
Different ones, right? Well, not salts. Gels, very specifically gels. Yeah.
Bath gels.
Yeah, I don't live it. I don't.
Not bombs.
I don't use bath salts. I'm not my grandma. I was using gels, right? Young, hip and up and coming gels, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I had all these gels and I pour a gel in. Yeah, such cool baths.
Yeah.
This was a high octane boat. It was great. So I pour a gel in, right? And I realize, oh, it's not the one I normally use. And I look at it. And I normally use either the one that's marked relaxing or the one that's marked soothing, right? And I look at, with horror in my eyes, I realize I've used the one marked invigorating.
Oh, no.
And you know how those things work. Oh. You know, so I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to be invigorated. This is a nightmare. You know, so I managed to hold off and, you know, pour in the whole thing in, and I get some relaxing one, and I pour that in. I create like a bath cocktail, a bath gel cocktail. But already I'm thinking, oh man, all I'm doing is cancelling out the invigorating with some relaxing. So I just pour a little extra relaxing in. Yeah, so that I can, you know, so it tips me over the edge and I'm a bit more relaxed than I am invigorated. But I know it's going to happen. I'm going to relax and fall into a sleep, but then not sleep deep enough because I'm so blimmin' invigorated. So you know, and that's. I'm tense about that. That's freaking me out. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to sleep very well. There's that. The ladles and jelly spoons thing is going through my head. All this kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what. I slept like a dream. I woke up once when there was a helicopter over my house. I think I live quite near a park. And I think that every now and again, someone goes on the run. So there's a helicopter there. But apart from that, I slept brilliantly. And I think it's because of the tradition. I think it's because of having the safety blanket of doing something regular. And it relaxing me. All right? So it got me thinking, what other rituals are there out there that people do? Things that maybe only you do every day before you leave for work or after you get home from work, things you do on the weekend, things specific to you, you know? And they could just be little gentle things, or they could be mildly OCD. Like I think I have mild OCD sometimes. It's kind of, I like things to be balanced. So I know that if I switch on the light switch, it's all right, because I know that later on I'm going to switch it off. So balance in the universe will be restored. I like things even like that. But if I tap a table, I want to tap it again just to even it out. Yeah. It's like invigorating versus relaxing bath gels. So what's yours, Matt? Do you have one?
I'm almost like the opposite of OCD. I don't have any. My brother used to always be worried about the curtains in our living room. The curtains were slightly wonky. He wouldn't be able to sit still and go, oh, no. I've got to go and move them. So I used to deliberately put them to test
them
out.
You kept your brother permanently on edge.
Yeah.
That's a fantastic thing to do. I was going to ask Phil, but he's texting someone. you know, suddenly the Guardian review yesterday wasn't, you know, what was the quote about the team? One of his ideas wasn't met with unbridled enthusiasm from the team. Suddenly looking around at Phil texting someone, I've just realised why. Dave, do you have any rituals?
I do. When I go to sleep, quite similar to yours, Danny, but I have to have every single door closed in the house.
Because of ghosts, I presume.
Well, I'm not too sure. Maybe it is a ghost.
I bet it is.
But
if you're on your own in the house and you go to the toilet for a little pee.
Yeah.
Do you have to close the door behind you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ghosts. Yes. You're scared of ghosts.
Is that what it is?
That's ghosts. Yeah, you're scared of ghosts.
No.
You're freaked out by the idea of someone walking in and there's no one else in the house, so it must be ghosts.
Well, I've been alone for the last week because my girlfriend's been on holiday, and I have still made sure all the doors have been closed in the house.
That's really weird.
I know.
But it's probably good for, you know, it's fire safety. It was drilled into you at some
drafts.
Point in your house.
Yeah, and ghosts, of course.
Ghosts, of course.
The XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
XFM. 1 month in, eh, Matt?
Oh, who'd have thought it's flown by, hasn't it?
It has flown by. We've had lots of fun, lots of good
things. I think
things.
London feels like it's flown by, too.
Do you?
Yes.
Is that the vibe you're getting on the street?
Yeah.
Or have you been doing, like, a little survey, just going out?
No, that's the vibe.
That's the vibe that's going on. That's good.
Vibe-based comment.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, London, for feeling that vibe and promoting it, in fact. Should we do our little facts about ourselves? I'll start this morning, gents. I think, Phil, you're probably the only one that doesn't know this, so I'll tell you. I recently tricked a friend into thinking that he was speaking to the Who frontman Roger Daltrey on the phone.
This is good.
I was wondering how long this would take.
Yeah. So after the show on Friday, Phil, I don't know where you were, but we went out and you had a couple of drinks and stuff like that. And we were joined by a very good friend of mine. And he sat down and he got a pint in. And at one point, Dave here, producer Dave, he popped to the toilet. And I said to the group, it'd be great to just make up a fact now, you know, about maybe Will here. And then we all have to kind of go with it for a while, see what happens. And we didn't know what the fact was going to be. And then suddenly, producer Dave is walking up the stairs. And all I know is I've got to pretend that something's been said. So I'm going, well, I'm sorry, Will, I shouldn't have told everyone that about you. You know, it was uncalled for. You know, I don't want to invade your privacy with new people. And Dave sits down looking quite uncomfortable now. He's clearly come back into something. And Will starts to pretend that his dad is Roger Daltrey, right? And Will looks nothing like Roger Daltrey. And I think if pressed, Will could probably name about one Roger Daltrey slash Who song. But Dave's being very respectful and doesn't want to kind of press him, but he can't resist and he starts asking questions about Roger Daltrey. He's enjoying this, right? And Will is being brilliant. He's coming up with loads of facts about Roger Daltrey. I decide to step it up a level, Phil. So I nudge Will when Dave isn't looking and I say, change my name in your phone to Daddy Daltrey, okay? As if, you know, he was going to have that anyway in his phone. Just in a, and then so Will does that very quietly under the table, and he gives me the nod. And so I dial Will's number. So on the screen, Will come up, Daddy Daltrey. Except Will has misunderstood, and so he's put Roger Daltrey. Which is a strange thing to do if he is Roger Daltrey's son, to be so formal. Not dad, nothing like that. And Dave looks at it, and his eyes light up. He's thinking, oh my lord, Roger Daltrey is phoning us in the pub. This is incredible. And so I go, I'm just going to deal with something. And so I walk out, and Will goes, oh, Dad, I don't want to speak about it, and hands it to Dave. Now, Dave thinks that he's in the middle of some kind of domestic involving Roger Daltrey and his son, and he's been asked somehow to step in the sort of domestic matters, you know. So he's now nervous, and I'm standing outside the pub, and I'm watching Dave trying to talk to Roger Daltrey, but I'm hearing him as well. And he's kind of going, yeah, no, I'm with your son. I'm with your son, Will, in the pub. I'm with Danny Wallace. And, you know, he must assume that if Roger Daltrey is my friend's dad, he would know who I am. But I just go, who? Now Dave's in a difficult position because he doesn't want to give away that Roger Daltrey doesn't know who the heck I am. And so I'm walking back towards Dave, and Dave is like very nasty, and he looks at me and he sees I'm on the phone as well, but he doesn't quite put two and two
not
together.
Yet, no.
The fact that my mouth is moving at the same time that Roger Daltrey is speaking. And it was just a glorious moment when I had to admit that I was, in fact, Roger Daltrey, and I was also Danny, his friend and colleague. And you wept in a pub, Dave.
I did. It was well placed.
Not out of sadness. Not out of sadness, by the way, out of joy. But you won't fall for that again? How did you feel?
Well, I think you'll have to agree that I dealt with it quite well. I was respectful
well.
Of Roger Daltrey's son.
Yes, you were.
And I didn't pry too much, but obviously I was curious. And then when I saw you on the phone, yeah. I have to admit, at that point, I still thought that was just the part of the prank that you're pretending to be his dad. And this, I was still sat next to Roger Daltrey's son. It then took you a few minutes to actually explain the whole thing. And then as I worked it backwards, yeah. I thought, right, the whole thing has been a scam. It was well played.
It was a terrific moment.
Well
you
played.
Won't be fooled again.
Oh, very nice.
XFM.
Tony Bowen's in the studio. You brought in a bit of a surprise for the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
It's a medley of some kind.
Yep.
Are you ready to go?
Yes, I think so.
Here then, with a very special medley for you, the XFM Breakfast Show listener, is the folk hero of the Breakfast Show, Tony Bowen.
So if you're lonely, you know I'm here waiting for you. I'm just across here. I'm just a shot away from you. And if you leave here, you leave me broken, shattered alive. I'm just across here. I'm just a shot that we can die. More a change of heart. Walking through Brad Joe's skin on number 10. Rolling in the four where the cigarette burns, walking. I miss the crush when I'm home again. Stepping through the door like a troubadour, why don't you snar away? Stepping through the sky, it's a star bright feeling, it's a brighter day. You and I should ride the coast and wind up in our favorite. Goes just miles away. Rolling number, write another song like Jimmy heard the day we caught the train. Whoa, la la la, whoa.
Tony Barton, ladies and gents.
We are
XFM.
Well, there you go. That was the sixth podcast from the all-new XFM Breakfast Show. Start placing your bets as to when I stop calling it the all-new XFM Breakfast Show and merely refer to it as the Breakfast Show. Year 4, I think.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.